or tape CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Spring Camp Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, April the 3rd, 2015. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of this service, teaching on the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Well, okay. Nikki's going to come.
Thank you, Merle. Praise God. Thank everyone here on this staff at this camp. Praise God. Awesome people. And I thank God for all of them. I was out walking this morning praying early this morning and asking the Lord about some things. Now, I pray every morning. I don't start the day without prayer. It's very foolish to start the day without prayer. Early will I seek you. That's not, you know, a suggestion. And the Lord was up before daylight praying. I don't know what your prayer life is. I don't ask for a lot of things. I listen and just seek to be in His presence. And to me, a successful time in prayer is when He comes. When He comes. Praise God. But anyway, I was walking praying and I didn't turn my cell phone off. And last night I got a call back home. I pastored that church for over 36 years. And then we have a ministry there. We have two large buildings. One of them, we're not far enough along. We don't have the shower rooms done to receive people. The other one, we do have people living in. And we're not a rehab center. But we take homeless people, and some of them need a lot of help. And so I get this call, and there's all kinds of cats away to mice plays, stuff going on. And then this morning, first thing, wrong, another call. And so I was distressed. And I was walking the road, and the Lord spoke to me this. You know, David, when he got back to Ziklag, that was after God gave him a deliverance there. He didn't want to go fight with the Philistines against his own people, and God got him out of that, and he's going home, he's happy, and he gets there, and they see smoke rising, and the enemies came and, you know, burnt the city to the ground, taking their wives and children. They're all distressed. And the men spoke of stoning him. Not a pretty sight. But he said he encouraged himself in the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. There's no excuse for us going around with our long face, poor me, woe is me, all that kind of junk. I don't even like to be around people like that. There's an answer for that. Encourage yourself in the Lord. When Moses, he faced a similar situation. They were going to stone him. They said they were going to stone him. And you might want to think about being a leadership. But he fell on his face. But then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle. And that was his encouragement. There is an encouragement. And in Ephesians, he said, speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, make a melody in your heart to the Lord. There is an answer, praise God. And certainly we can do that. The other thing, let me tell you this first. I need to say this. Sister Carl, last night, one thing you mentioned was judging people. None of us think we do that, okay? Well, I don't like obese. I mean, I have a problem with obese people. I'm sorry. Almost all of us in here are overweight. Okay, we could all lose a few pounds except for a very small minority in here. And But I'm talking about the big, I mean the big ones, you know, morbidly obese. You see them, they can't hardly walk. And I think to myself, do you know where you're going with that? Do you know what you're doing to yourself? Can't you quit eating? I mean, come on now. And so I judge them. Oh, you know, 3 weeks ago, I started eating like a crazy. I couldn't quit eating. I'm just eating, and I'm gaining weight. I gained about 10 pounds. Just eating like, what in the world is going on with me? I couldn't stop. You know what it was? The Lord spoke to me. I had judged him. I had judged him. And you know what? I began to have compassion for those people. I did. I could not stop. And I was saying, why don't you stop that? You know, what's wrong with you? Well, I couldn't stop. And once I repented of that, it's improved, praise God. It really has. But anyway, the other thing was, I didn't know what to preach this morning. It's not a problem I have in some, is what to preach. And I wanted to preach on the Holy Spirit, which I'm going to preach on the gift of the Holy Spirit this morning. But I was arguing with the Lord about that. I said, Lord, it's a morning service, don't you? You usually do that at night service. And and you know what the Lord spoke to me? At 9 o'clock in the morning, Peter stood up and preached. They're not drunk like you think they are. And it says in Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Well, the day starts at 6 o'clock in the morning. And in 3 hour span, they had to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I don't think it was a 5 minute thing, you know. I mean, they had church, the Spirit of God came, and then the crowd had to come, and he had to stand up and preach to them. So it had to be just about on the dot 6 o'clock in the morning. So we're way ahead of that, or past that, so we can talk about the Holy Spirit this morning. I was walking up here with my grandkids, and one of them said, where's your tablet at? You know, I've started using that for notes. It's been hard, but I'm trying to get with, you know, the modern devices. At first, it just, oh my, I thought, I'm going to quit. This is not going to work. But I finally overcame. And they said, where's your tablet? And I said, well, it's back at the room. Well, what are you going to use? And I said, well, I have a book here on the Holy Spirit. And that's what I'm going to use. Praise God. And so if you turn with me, I think that's all I was supposed to state. Oh, I want to say one other thing. Start with Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. But another thing I want to say is, and this is a testimony, I want to encourage you about giving. Now, I was told that they've had water leaks here. I mean, like, what, 250 gallons a minute coming out? Is that right, Kevin? And, hey, that cost. I know about water leaks. We have a lot of them. The sad thing is when you don't find them for several days because there's so many water lines going everywhere. And so I know it's been difficult on them. And so you may think might want to help them with that. And we can pray the water company may be able to forgive some of that. But there's a rehab ministry. It's a strong Christian, Church of God pastor, and that's a miracle how all that happened. God put it in his lap, and it's in an old nursing home in Northeast Texas, not too far from us. And the Lord spoke to me about giving them, sending them a check for $1,000, and I need to say the amount because you need to hear this part. And, I argued again. So, Lord, we need that. We need $1,000. We're a ministry. Somebody needs to give us $1,000, you know. And, we spend a lot of money out there. I mean, we are. And it costs. And, but finally, you know, I worked through it and I sent that check. I want you to know, 2 days later, I got back from Dallas, and I'm walking across the parking lot from one building to the church. This is a timing of the Lord. And I'm about to walk in, this red truck drives by, and when they saw me, they slowed down and pulled in the parking lot. And he got out and said, you remember me? And I really didn't. But, you know, you wouldn't be in the hell. And he said, well, how's your project coming? And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? And then it came to me, I'd shown him and his wife, the buildings, you know, where we're getting them ready. Not just to receive people now, but receive people. Because I'll tell you, something's coming on in this nation. And if you're not getting ready, you're a fool. You heard it from me, okay? And you'll hear it from others. But anyway, he said, well, can I make a donation? Sure, you can make a donation. And so he said, let me call my wife. We haven't found a church home yet. We've been saving up our tithes. You know, a lot of people are not, you don't go to the doctor, you don't pay, you know, or you don't, whatever, so you don't pay. If you're not going to church, you don't have to pay unless you pay, unless you go. But they've been saving them up. Let me call and see how much it's up. Okay. So he calls and I write the check right now, and he handed to me $8,520. That's a pretty good return on $8,000. It hasn't always happened that way. It doesn't matter if it does or not. You have to obey God. But all right, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Lord, we ask you to add to your word, make it alive, expand it, Father. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Who are we, Lord? Who are we? God, speak through me. God, speak to our hearts. Lord, you can speak to every heart this morning far more than I could ever say. But take this and use it, Lord, and anoint in Jesus' name. Praise God. I read that because I want you to see that right at the very beginning, the Holy Spirit is mentioned. If you turn to the last chapter of the book in Revelation, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, Lord Jesus. So this is a book about the Holy Spirit from one end to the other. Some people say you don't want to put too much emphasis on the Holy Spirit. You can't put too much emphasis on the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will never speak of himself. He doesn't talk about himself. He always reveals Christ to us. So you begin. And notice, yes, Jesus preached repentance, but he also preached the Holy Spirit. You check that out. He preached the Holy Spirit. Now, the Spirit is certainly mentioned all the way through the Old Testament, and definitely in the New Testament. Jesus is also in the Old Testament. Those three men that came to Abraham in the plain of Mamre, one of them was the Lord, and he did not go on with them to Sodom to check it out. So we see the Holy Spirit is mentioned all the way through here. One other thing here, in the first part of Genesis, he said, let us make man after our own image. Now, if you know grammar at all, our and us is more than one, okay? It is more than one. Praise God. To help understand what we call the Trinity, that word's not in the Bible, but the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to me this makes it easier. Their last name is God, okay? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are Father, God, Son, God. They're all God. Now, in everything that's done, God thinks it. The Son speaks it, and the Holy Spirit does it. Can you grasp that? The Father thinks it. The Son speaks it, and the Holy Spirit does it. Just like we see here, we read in the Scripture that Christ spoke the worlds into existence. He made all things, and all things were made by him and for him, okay? But the Father thinks it, the Son speaks it, and then the Holy Spirit does it. And the Holy Spirit is the one that moved on the face of the waters. He does the work, basically. Now, at this point, at this time, the Father's in heaven, and on his right hand is the Son. Christ is in heaven, folks. Who's on the earth? The Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I must go away. But when I do, I'll send the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, back. Now, so the Holy Spirit is the one that's working on the face of this earth. He's the one that's working in the church. He's the one that brings people to Christ. draws him to Christ. We cannot come to Christ. We cannot come to the Father unless the Spirit draws us. People say, I'll get saved when I want to. No, you won't. You cannot get saved unless the Holy Spirit draws you. And that's why now, he says, behold, now is the day of salvation. And you don't want to miss when he's drawing. Because he also said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. So we have to take advantage. When the Holy Spirit is, even if you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit is drawing you to communion and fellowship. One time we were building our new church building that's not so new anymore, but the new one. And I was over there working in there, and I felt the drawing of the Holy Spirit to go, to be with the Lord, you know, to spend time with him in his presence. And I said, well, just a minute, I'm busy. As soon as I finish this, I'll go. 15 minutes later, I don't feel him drawing me anymore. I didn't feel it anymore. I knew I messed up. So I put the tools down and ran over to the old church where I had a little office, and I went in there, and he wasn't there. And he didn't come. He did not come. You know what? He's not a genie in the lamp you rub and he pops out and say, what do you want? And he's not on your string. And it's not that we say jump and he asks how high. We are created for him. Some people say, I don't know why I'm on this earth. Well, Revelation 4:11 says we were created for his pleasure. His pleasure. Not our pleasure. But for his pleasure. Now, there are pleasures at his right hand forevermore. True. But we're created for his pleasure. If you don't know why you're alive and breathing this morning, I want to tell you why, by the scripture, we're created for his pleasure. And you and I will never, ever realize any work to our life. You can seek for that work all your life, meaning to your life, find yourself, all this stuff. But you'll never find it till you give it pleasure. And when you give it pleasure, then you are a completed person. You have found your value then. And that's real hard on most people. Just like, the Jews said, we're not going to have this man rule over us. And that's the problem. Who's going to rule over you? And people say, nobody tells me what to do. Well, first thing, that's a lie, because somebody's telling you what to do. Somebody's telling you what to do.
Amen.
And if they're not right then, then somebody is going to tell you what to do. But we'll not have this man to rule over us. Did you know that the Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, cannot come back until the Jews say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord? Read it in your Bible. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God. So they will accept him to rule over them. Now, I want to turn over to the New Testament, Matthew, praise God. The Gospel of Matthew, and I believe it will be verse 13. Then came Jesus, I'm reading out of the King James Version, but I don't want to confuse you, but when it says the end, I'll say you or whatever, okay? I was talking to Sister D this morning, and the Holy Ghost. Well, now, when we think about ghosts, we think of something else, somebody in the sheep floating around. But it's an old English word, and you know the English language, like every other language, evolves. And it's like when, I don't know if I can say this, but I'm going to say it. When I was young, I knew some people that they were named Gay. That was their first name. And the last thing you want to be, well, most of us would be named now is Gay. Things change. He said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Suffer the little children. Well, it means permit or allow. So there's some changes, but I do believe this King James model is the closest. If you're going to read another translation, make sure you are so familiar with the King James that you know when it gets off, because they do get off. One word can change the whole meaning. One word. And these guys now that are, many of them have a motive, an agenda when they're translating. And they're going to make it come out to say what they want it to say by changing the word here, because you can do that. So many meaningless words. And so then came Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And, well, I need to back up before that. Excuse me. Look at verse 11. This is John speaking. I need baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Of all the things that John could say about Jesus, what does he say? What does he say? He says this one thing, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. First thing he says. Now, over in the Gospel of John, he does say, behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. But in the Gospels, as it's recorded, the main thing that they're recording, the Holy Spirit had them to record, the Holy Spirit wrote this book, by the way, and we'll never understand it without the Holy Spirit opening it up to us. The ability to quote the Bible doesn't mean a whole lot. It's nice, it's good to memorize the Word of God. B.H. Clendon preaches a message, and he closed the book. Jesus, you know, in Luke 4, he closed the book. And what he's saying is, if you listen to that message, what he's saying is the book better be in here. Without ever opening this book, you can read the book. You can read the book. Praise God. And when you, every situation you meet in life, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, he'll bring to your remembrance the things that I've spoken unto you. So, okay, if you want to memorize it, but be sure you read it and study it. But it's not so much a memorization as the Holy Spirit's going to bring it to your remembrance. But he can't bring it to your remembrance if you haven't read it. Okay? So I'm not advocating for saying don't read the Bible and don't memorize it. I'm not saying that. I've never been real good at memorizing anything. This is another thing he says, whose fan is in his hand, he will, speaking of Christ, thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Is that what you hear people preach when you hear them preach about Christ?
Nope.
It's not at all. And there's such an emphasis now on the idea of salvation. The idea of salvation. Particularly meaning that you can do this one thing at this one point in your life and you're in. That's it. You walk that aisle, whatever they have you do, and you shake that preacher's hand and you repeat a prayer after him and then you profess Christ. And sign a card, and maybe if they do that, you'll be baptized in water. And maybe some of you, the church has to vote on you whether they're going to receive you or not. That's interesting. And you're in. And once you're in, you're always in. Okay? But let me say this. Salvation, and that word's not used nearly as much as a word such as repentance is used. But salvation is a progressive work. You were saved, you're being saved, you will be saved. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. I don't care what you did when you were 8 years old. You got to endure to the end. I had an uncle that never went to church that I knew of, drank like a fish, and I don't mean water. And he died drunk. He fell out of a boat on Lake Ray Hubbard. And he had, from smoking, he had that hole there. The hole there. Well, you try to hold that hole and tread water. Sorry. But they found some preacher. He talked to him. He was 8 years old. And at the funeral, I remember I was there at the funeral. That preacher put him in heaven because he talked to him when he was 8 years old. I'm sorry. It's going to take more than that. It's going to take more than that. If this is not the main thing of your life, if this is not the pursuit of your life, I don't think you're going to make it. I know you're not going to make it. And I can say that with authority. This better be it. It's not your business. It's not your relationships. It's not you or me. It's not politics. It's not anything you want to name. Oh, man, they're talking about get ready for it, buy gold. Look, first thing, you got to have money to buy gold. For your retirement, your IRAs, that's always interesting. I wouldn't know what all that's about. I do get a little retirement check, excuse me, $208 a month, besides my old folks' check. But I just want to say, if that's all you... No, it's got to be you. We have to press in.
Yeah.
And he said, of those that are seeking to get in, few there be that find it.
Oh.
I mean, this is real. If you're going to go to heaven, you're not just going to wake up one morning, oh, look here, I'm in heaven. How'd I get here? I wasn't sure I was going to get here. No, you're going to work. I mean, you have a work to do. I know it's my faith, but that's a work too. Just have faith is work. And it's what the Lord's done for us. But you have a part to do. We all have a part to do. Look at the rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus and said, what must I do to have eternal life? Well, that's speaking faith. He believes that Jesus has the answer. I mean, there's some faith there. And the Lord says, keep the commandments. He said, I've done that from my youth up. And then it says, and the Lord looked on him and loved him. Why did he love him? Was he handsome? Was it because he had money? Because he didn't make Jesus feel important? No. You know what? Those that keep his commandments are the ones he loves.
Amen.
You read that in John 14 and other places. If we love him, we keep his commandments, he'll love us. So he loved him. And then he told him, well, look, you've got a problem with your money and your position in life. You go sell all you got, give up your position, use a ruler, come and follow me. And he would not do that. He wouldn't do the work to be saved. That's what we're talking about. There's work to do to be saved. Now, so the things he wants to say is he says he's mightier than I. Now, John had a baptism, but he said Jesus is mightier than I, and he's going to baptize you. So that means that Jesus' baptism is going to be mightier than John's baptism. And most of the church world is hung up in the baptism of John and never got past that. And in Acts 19, when Paul comes to Ephesus, he says, have you been baptized? Or have you received, this means the same, the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, we hadn't heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Well, that's, most churches you go to, you're not going to hear that. You're going to hear how to be successful in life. How to feel better about yourself. How to deal with other people, relational things, and all that. That's what you're going to hear. I want to say this to you this morning. The answer to everything, I know it's Christ. But Christ can only be revealed to us through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So that makes the Holy... We cannot make heaven without the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. We cannot. There's not a one of us in here that's smart enough or strong enough or anything else you want to name. If you're trying to make it without being filled with the Holy Ghost, you're not going to make it. And I know that's strong. You want to know that's strong. I may get some, backlash on that. But. So, well, Brother Pence, you're hurting my feelings because I've never spoken in tongues. Well, just hang on, okay? I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. But sometimes you have to tell people the truth, in love, and it is in love. You have to tell them. In John chapter 6, Jesus said some hard things, and they said, this is a hard thing, who can receive it? And then it says, many of them went back and walked no more with him. Oh, man, I messed up there. This church is not going to grow like that. So the Lord goes home and gets out the pencil and paper. Now, how can I fix that? No, he doesn't. He lets them go. You have to let them go. If you compromise with them, they'll never be one to go. You have to let them go. He let the rich young ruler go. Wait a minute, son, come back. We're going to talk about this. How about an installment plan? Let's negotiate this. And I'm sure Judas had a problem with it. This man's rich. Judas kept the bag. Like when he argued because that the woman took the costly ointment and broke the alabaster box, poured it on Jesus, and he had a big problem with it. Well, praise God. Now, so he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now, if you and remember the part about he's going to thoroughly purge his floor, there's going to be a sifting now. He's going to gather his wheat into the barn. Everyone that gets saved is not. Oh, I know that's. Okay, I have to. Everyone that in their mind gets saved, or saved according to what these churches are teaching. You know, I have a problem when they get on TV and they say, if you're not saved, say this prayer with me. It's a real little short prayer. You're saved now. If you said that prayer, you meant your heart to saved. We were saved. We're being saved. We will be saved. All right. Now, and he will burn up the chaff with an unquenchable fire. That's what he's going to do. So the Lord is a dispenser of the Holy Spirit. At the same time, he's going to deal with people that are rebellious, isn't he? Now, in Mark chapter 16, Jesus speaking, and I realize that if you have probably an NIV, and I don't think anybody in here would have one of those, but if you have some of these, if you're trying to find this passage of Scripture, you may not be able to find it. Okay? And if you want to, I even have a new King James in it. It has all these notes in it. It says this is not in the best manuscripts, all that stuff. If you want a good answer to that, Dake's Bible, oh man, he'll get them straight on that. And he's right. I mean, it's awesome that if you want to read Finest Dake's Bible. Now, he said unto them, Jesus speaking, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. Well, that's not nice. Do you know, Noah's the most successful preacher ever lived. Everyone he didn't save, he condemned. And we have a dual purpose in our ministry. Whatever you're doing in ministry, you have a dual purpose. To save and to condemn or damn. One of the, see, no one's going to stand before the Lord in judgment. No one's going to stand there without an excuse. And so he wants us to, and he says in the Scripture, they're without excuse.
Yes.
And so we have to, you know, some of the prophets said, well, they weren't going to listen. Well, go anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Go anyway. Because I want evidence against them. I want evidence against them when they stand before me. So that's part of what we're doing. So don't get discouraged. Maybe you preached to a lot of people and none of them stick because you didn't, again, tell them how to have their best life now. Well, some of you don't want to talk about that, but you can get that book. And so they don't stick. You know, just like those in the Old Testament, speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits to us. We don't want to hear that. I had a dream. I don't know if I told it here. I think I might have last time. Don't seem like a year since the winter camp. They didn't invite me to the ladies' camp, but so it's been a long time. I'm going to embarrass one of my grandsons. Before, as we're getting closer, he's so excited about, come, this is good. He said, I can smell it. He said, I can smell it. And I thought, that's pretty neat. That's neat, isn't it? He won't be here. But anyway, I'll tell you this dream. In this dream, I had gone to bed on Sunday night really concerned. We're doing a lot of work there at that little place called Peerless. And it's not even on some maps. We're doing a lot of work and a lot of money that God has provided. Plus, I'm spending my inheritance on that. And I really got criticized for that. You know, someone said, what are you going to do if they kick you out of here? When did you die or something? You shouldn't be doing that. You should keep it for yourself. Keep it for what? Okay, we're wanting people to give to that ministry, but we don't want to give. We'd love for somebody to die and leave their inheritance, you know, to that work. But you don't want me to? Okay. But I said, Lord, is this right? I mean, things were discouraging. You've been there? Things were hard, discouraging. And, it's the devil fighting. So I said, I went to bed praying, Lord, please show me if this is right or not. And that's scripture. It's in the scripture. You can read that. Various people of God. And so I woke up that morning from a dream, and in the dream, I was me and someone, I don't know who they were, we were walking down this road into the town, and we were to go there and warn the people there, warn them about trouble that was coming. And and the town was all on one side, and so we're walking down, we're telling, and you know what? They were agitated and irritated that we were telling. You know, don't you disturb my American dream. That's the attitude. You tell most of the church now, they'll get angry with you. They don't want to hear it. And I understand that a lot of it's fear. Some of it is, hey, I'm not intending on giving up this life that I'm living. And we got to the end of the road telling everybody. And when we got there, there was a fan operating on an alternative energy source. We come back and we look over to the right behind the town. There's dark clouds coming. I felt pretty good about that in the dream. You know, oh, I'm justified here. But then we walk further and we look and there's tornadoes and there, we count 15 tornadoes coming. And the one with me said, well, what about the other side? We look over there and there's about that many coming again. In the next scene, in that dream, there's like a herd, and I'm sorry for using that word, but a herd of people running at us. And I said in the dream, what is that? And a voice in the dream said, they're fleeing to the bunkhouse, not bunker house. See, I know people that are, I mean, really, they're getting bunkers. They're building bunkers with guns, you know. And I have a friend that I was talking to, and he's preparing. He's got food hidden everywhere, and he's got a secret room, and he's got guns. And he said, well, if they come to get mine, I'll shoot them. That's what he said. A lot of them say that. I said, shoot them. We're supposed to feed them. Well, anyway, I talked to some others. They're kind of in the middle. Well, God will tell you whether to shoot them or not, you know. But so anyway, here, I didn't even own a gun until about a year ago. And I got a .22 so I can shoot turtles. But I'm not, so I had to buy another gun because I'm not a very good aim. So I had to get a shotgun that spreads out to knock them. But I'm not mad at turtles. I am mad at them. They eat the fish. They're bad. So we've got to get rid of them. I'm sorry. So where was I? In the dream. And so I saw this bunkhouse, and it was kind of a humble building. That makes me feel better about ours. It's kind of a humble building. And the last scene was a lady that she, a grown lady, and her dress was caught on some debris. And I cannot show you, but she was frantically pulling on that dress trying to get loose. And I mean frantic. And I said, what's that? And the voice said she didn't hear the warning. And that was the dream. I will tell you this, it was significant that it was all on one side of the road. We weren't sent to the other side. Didn't even see what was over there. But it's because we're to warn God's people. You're wasting your breath warning the rest of them. And so, praise God. Let's get back to the scripture here. These signs follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You know, that's just a brief summary of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians 12. You understand that? Now, I do know there's snake handlers, and they say if you have faith, you can do this. I heard the best answer I ever heard just recently. They said, well, then tell them to go ahead and drink some poison if they have faith, you know. But now, so here we see this about speaking in tongues, and at the end of chapter of the book of Luke, verse 49, he says that Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. I'm telling you, we need the Holy Spirit. You have to be going after the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, and Jesus speaking just before he ascends to the Father, and being assembled together with him, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. That's what we're talking about, right? The promise of the Father. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit. You should, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So Jesus is back what John said. And then in verse 8, he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Do you have that power this morning? You can't make heaven without it. And please understand, most of them made that power to be nothing more than the ability to witness. That's sad. And that's the church growth people, basically. But, and it's not even meaning that. We don't read it in King James, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Unto me. Not for me, but unto me. A witness, meaning that you're going to be one, I don't have time to get in all that, but this one, but you'll be one with me. You will be what I am. I will be Christ formed in us.
Amen.
Growing up the same image as Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. That's what he's meaning. And that is the witness, folks. Not so much what we say out of our mouth. That's preaching. But the witness is, you know, they said later, the apostles, they said they took note of them that they'd been with Jesus. Well, how did they figure that out? Because they're doing what he did. They are like him. It's not just in doing, though, it's having the same nature. You know, being like him. I want to go back to John chapter 14. John 14, 15, and 16 are awesome, and it's all words of the Lord about the Holy Spirit. And that, so he says here in verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do, also in greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go unto my Father. Well, what's he going to do? If you read in chapter 16, he says, it's expedient for you that I go away. If I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. That's what he... And then in Acts 2, when Peter's preaching, he said, and what you see is that, and it's prophesied by Joel, he said, the Son is at the right hand of the Father, pouring out what you see and hear. What you see and hear. What's he talking about? Those that they thought were drunk because of the way they were acting. Praise God. One thing about getting, if you want to use it that way, drunk in the spirit, you don't have to worry about, you know, a drunk person wakes up the next morning with a hangover. Oh my, I hope I didn't run over somebody and kill them last night on the way home or all that. There's none of that. There's no headache. There's nothing. There's glory. Praise God. Now, and whatsoever you shall ask the Father, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Not that we can be somebody big. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I don't believe King James is wrong on using the word Comforter. If he's anything to us, he's a Comforter. And I tell you, we need Comforter. You can say at the end of the day, you need competence after you've been out there in that world. But I'm going to tell you, you need it during the day. You have to have the Comforter. You don't need those pills. You don't need wine. Be not drunk with wine, whereas it says to be filled with spirit. You don't need the beer. You don't need any of that. You don't need drugs. You don't need to sit on a psychologist's couch. You need the Holy Ghost. He's the Comforter. And there's no excuse for us. I tell you, if he's comforting you. Oh, hallelujah. How many of you know what I'm talking about? He comforts. He really comforts. And I feel sad for you if you're not, if you have tapped into this, the Comforter. Praise God. Now, that he may abide with you forever. Because he said, I'm going away, but he's going to be with you forever. I've noticed this. People that were filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues, you know, knew this, experienced this, and they backslide. When they come back to the Lord, I have observed that if they repent, almost immediately the tongues are there again. They're there, praise God. And I encourage, when a backslider comes back to the Lord, I ask, I say, have you ever spoken in tongues? If they say yes, I say, well, he's there, and you need to let him speak to you again. And don't let the devil tell you you're not worthy.
Yeah.
See, what we do sometimes is we make this a qualification. Am I worthy? And it's not about, I know he gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him, but I hope I remember where I was before I say this. Obey them. See, when to speak in tongues, in Acts 2 he said, and they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They spoke, the Holy Spirit gave the utterance, they have to obey and speak it.
Amen.
So many people could have spoken in tongues a long time before they did. A long time before they did. I was listening to B.H. Clendenin, and he was talking about it took him a year and a half to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And for 6 months, he and his wife went every night and took the little children to a meeting, Brush Harbor meeting, seeking the Holy Spirit. And finally, one day he got out there, he worked on this big ranch, All Wells, and he's way out there, he had to ride a tractor out there, and he got out and he said he caught a hold of the ribs of that tractor. He said, now God, what's going on here? What's going on here? He said, now I don't think I'm really any worse than anybody else, and I want the Holy Ghost as much as anybody else, and why aren't you giving me the Holy Ghost? And he said, the Lord spoke back to him and said, I've been trying to give him to you for a long time. You just won't receive. And he had to come to understand. He had to come to understand that we're waiting. A lot of people wait for the Holy Ghost to move their mouth. No, they spoke. You're going to hear the utterance in here. I want to help you here. You're going to hear the utterance in here, but you've got to, by faith and obedience, speak it out. You speak it out. And of course the devil's going to be right there to tell you that's just you. Well, sure he is. That's his business to tell you that. Uh-huh. Have you ever been in a store somewhere and hear someone speaking? In the county I live in, there's a lot of people from Holland and like that because we have a lot of dairies. And I know this is true with people that speak Spanish. You hear me, you don't speak Spanish, it's gibberish. You know, it sounds like they're saying the same thing over and over. The devil will tell you that. You're saying the same thing over and over. But it sounds like it. And I hear those people from Holland, and that's really strange, you know. Well, that's how it is to our mind when the Holy Spirit has given us utterance. And we have to deny our flesh, our mind, and by faith speak what he gave. Might be a word or two. Just at the beginning. But if you'll be faithful with that, he'll give you more. And we're to pray without ceasing, and the only way you can do that is pray in tongues.
Amen.
Pray in tongues without ceasing. I mean, just all the time, praying in tongues. I didn't know that. I grew up in the Assembly of God Church. I thought the only way you could speak in tongues is if you got zapped, you know, and then you could speak in tongues. Well, this converted Jew came by one day, and that church I was going to, and he said, you need to be speaking in tongues all the time, and you can. You start, he'll come. Amen. You know. And I didn't know that. And so I decided I'm going to do that. And I worked in this, and some of you heard this before, I worked in this little Piggly Wiggly store. And on Thursday afternoon, I was the only one awake in there. And it was so boring. It hurt to work in there. But I needed a job. And I watched the clock all day long, and anxious just to get out of there. But I tied a string on my finger, whatever it takes, you know, to do. I tied a string on my finger, and every time I look at it, I remember, so I speak in tongues. Well, it got the word, you know, it's good. Now, you can lose that when you get under stress and things. You can let yourself lose that. You can let yourself, depressed or whatever. You got to come back to it. You backslide away from it, you gotta come back. And, I found out that I had 8 hours of church. And the first thing I knew is time to get off. I wasn't watching the clock. I was more blessed when I got through the day than I was before I started the day. That will work physically, mentally, in every way. He is a confident. And see, the purpose of speaking in tongues, there's a lot of purposes. One of them is, that it edifies himself. You read that 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He builds himself up.
Amen.
Well, if you're finding yourself being pushed down, then speak in tongues and build yourself back up.
Amen.
And in Jude 20 says, build on your faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost. So that's why we pray in tongues. You can also sing in tongues. I didn't know you could do that. I had a pastor one time was in a prayer meeting. He's over there singing in tongues. I don't know. You can't do that. You know, nobody ever told me you could. It isn't a sad thing. Grow up in Assembly God Church, whatever church you grew up in. And I had one pastor, all he ever preached was salvation sermons. I thought I was in a Baptist church, but that's all he ever preached. And somebody needs to tell us some things. You know what? Somebody needs to talk about this. It's in the book. But they're busy telling people how they're going to prosper and be successful and all this stuff, you know, that appeals to the flesh. So I learned that, and praise God, it's been such, and in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul said, I will pray in the understanding, and I will pray in the Spirit. I will sing the understanding, I will sing in the Spirit. Try it. It's good. You'll like it. It's good, praise God. It's a gift. It's a promise. Oh, and I know the Lord gets excited every time He hears one of us praying in the Spirit. I know He does. Because that's why He went back to God. That's why John said He came. That's why John said He came. To baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Well, we made it where He came just to save us. Really, if you read this scripture, they made no differentiation between being saved, converted, born again, or whatever people want to call it, and being filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why in Acts 19 he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Let's turn over there. There's so much I'd like to say about chapter 14. I need to say this before we go away. 17, verse 7, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. You can have the Holy Spirit dwelling with you. I am not saying you're not saved unless you speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit can be with you, but it is so much greater and better if he's in you. And that happened on the day of Pentecost. He came in then. Is he in you or is he just with you? I mean, you can do a lot of things with the Holy Spirit with you. They did through the Old Testament. But when he's in you, I tell you the primary reason for him to be in you is to reveal Christ in you.
Amen.
To reveal Christ in you. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, one of the most important verses, they're all important verses in the Bible, it says, as we behold him, we're changed in the same image from glory to glory, revelation to revelation, as by the Spirit of the Lord. You'll never become like Christ unless the Holy Spirit is showing Christ to you. And in chapter 14 and 16, he talks about the Holy Spirit taking the things of Christ and showing them to us. And him being manifested to us. Manifested to us. Praise God. You can't live this life yourself. We can't make ourselves like Christ. The Holy Spirit does that. Well, in Acts chapter 19, actually I want to start the last part of 18. Something missing. I believe we might come near a close here on this part. Apollos, verse 24, 18:24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, praise God, and being fervent in the spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Did you catch that? He wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit yet. And began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard. Thank God that the Lord put them there to hear him. Now they're the listeners, he's the speaker, but they're going to instruct him. They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. What do you think that was? We'll see it in chapter 19, but I'm going to tell you now. They told him about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what it was. They're going to say, Apostle, you're hung up in the baptism of John. There's another baptism and you need it. And when he was disposed to pass through Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, Apollos, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace, the power of God, not unmerited favor. And he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly shown by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. This man changes. This man, now he's mighty. Oh, he's mighty now. And there comes one after me that's mightier than I, because he's going to baptize you with a mightier baptism. And then in chapter 19, and it came to pass that while Paulus was at Corinth. See, let me say, Aquila and Priscilla realizes there's something missing in this man's life, in his experience with God. There's something missing. We need to tell him. Is it missing in your life this morning? Praise God. So, and Paul, having to pass to the upper coast, comes to Ephesus, chapter 19, finding certain disciples. Notice they're disciples like Apollos was. Okay? He said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? I know some of the translations with an agenda will say, when you believe. I know that. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, I need to stop and address that. They say, when you believe. That won't even fit with this here. It won't even fit. They're already disciples. I know some teachers you get all the Holy Spirit you'll ever get when you're saved. And that's a lie. Okay? And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? They said, unto John's baptism, just like Paul's. Then said Paul, and thank God, here's Paul, and Paul's agreeing with Aquila and Priscilla, and aren't you glad that somebody told you this? Aren't you glad somebody told you this? Thank God. You know, my parents, my dad was one of 13 children. My mother was one of 11. And they grew up during the Great Depression. You need a lot of kids. You know, get out there in that farm and work. But anyway, I had an uncle. My dad had a brother. And he had tuberculosis. And he went to J.C. Hibbert's church, the Gospel Lighthouse in Dallas. Great big old church, full gospel church. And he was healed. And he hung around. He said, well, this, you know, that'll make you stay around. And he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Only one of those. My dad was later, but so there's only two out of 13. And so he's like Paul, and he's like Aquila and Priscilla. He's telling them all, you know, you need this. You're missing something. And some of them are Baptist pastors. I'm not mocking the Baptists. Please don't think that. And around the corner from us, there's a Baptist church. It's bigger than us. It has three millionaires. They got a lot of, you know. And so they're back. Well, thank God it's not them. I start saying the wrong thing. Thank God it's not something else. So that's good. You know, it makes the community better. It does. It helps. Right? Well, so they talked to my parents, and they won my parents over. And they would feel the Holy Spirit. And I might not be standing here this morning if that hadn't happened. Thank God for my Uncle Gordon. I don't remember him. I think I was, he later died of something else. But he served his purpose. And he prophesied I'd be a preacher. He did. So here I am standing here. You know, praise God. But more important than that, I speak in tongues. I don't know if I can say like Paul, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. I don't know how much you speak in tongues, but I hope you are a whole lot, you know.
Amen.
Praise God, because it'll make the difference.
Amen.
And not only that, you know, he teaches us all things. Don't you need to be taught?
Yes.
He guides us into all truth. Don't you need that? Quit trying to figure stuff out for yourself. Let him guide you.
Yes.
He'll show you things to come. We heard that last night. Thank God. Praise God. That helps. You know, it really helps.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much he does. Paul, what will we do without the Holy Spirit? That's why Jesus said, I must go away. You need this, praise God. You need this. And here he's saying to these men, you are missing something. Okay, are you missing it? And so they said under the baptism of John, they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon him, oh, I like this. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit came upon them. has he come upon you? If you would say the answer to that and say this one, I don't know, then he hasn't. Not being ugly, but he hasn't. Because if he does, you'll know. You will know. I have a son-in-law that when he was young, he spoke in tongues. But he backslid some other things, and now he's not sure he ever really spoke in tongues. Isn't that what the devil tells you? Oh, that's his bid to tell you you didn't speak in tongues. That's you. I'm working on him, though. Because he's going to preach. If I could, I'd make preachers out of everybody. But God has to do that. And the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. You need to prophesy, too. You need to prophesy to yourself. I mean, the Holy Ghost through you. You know, speak through you. Don't be afraid of that. Listen, if you can't trust the Holy Spirit to prophesy through you, to you, then I wouldn't be going around prophesying to anybody else. You know, try it on yourself first. Right? So somebody doesn't come to you later on and say, you know, you told me and you were wrong. Check this out. Make sure you're hearing from God. It's good. We'll just stand with you. This is an awesome life, folks. This couldn't get any better, could it? Praise God. And here we are, end time people. I believe with most of us here, going to see this thing come to a close. Amen. Praise God. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. Well, hallelujah. I don't know what to do here. I want to pray for people, but it's lunchtime. We got 5 minutes. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Is that okay? Isn't she awesome? She can fine play any song that you, she must know every song that's ever written. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Ask him to come right now. Just ask him to come. Have you been filled today? Has he filled you today? Have you spent time with him? Have you taken time? Oh, hallelujah. I feel your presence, Lord. I feel your presence. Spirit, Lord, where?
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.